I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently to that shore. Let me walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Amen. That ought to be each of our daily prayers, isn't it? That is our desire, to walk closer to He who is our example. He who lived as a perfect example when He was on this earth, Jesus Christ, the anointed one of God. All right. Jesus is Lord. We've talked recently about walking closer with the Lord in our daily walk. And we've kind of gone on the line of a practical thoughts on how to do that every day, if that makes sense. And it all stems from, and it all is based on, obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Peter and the other fishermen there, he said, follow me. Well, there was more to that than just stay on my trail. Follow me had some very deep connotations, very deep meaning in those two words, follow me. And that's what you and I are called to do, the same way that He called Peter, all of His disciples, to follow Him. And what they did was they laid everything down and followed Him. He was the most important thing all of a sudden in their lives. We are not unlike them when the Lord saves us, are we? We are not. When someone believes that Jesus Christ is their Savior, in the heart, they confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they are faced with a change in their life, a big change, a heart change, a basic foundational change. As we talked about this, I told you that this last Sunday was a foundational message. And it was based on this study, let's call it, of Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to tell you that everything is based on that fact. It's a fact that Jesus is Lord. He is the anointed one of God. So when God saves us, He changes us, all of a sudden, He's the most important thing in our lives. We don't drop our responsibilities to our families and our lives, but He becomes most important. But what next? We're faced with that, aren't we? What do we do next? We love the Lord now. We want to be pleasing to Him. We want to do things that He wants us to do. We want to seek and fulfill His will in our lives because we realize that we're His. We talked about that a little bit last week. I won't dwell on it. But the words that are used for Lord Kurios is a great word for Lord, and it means power and ownership. He is not only our Savior, but He owns us, doesn't He? He really does. He's our Creator. I wanted to change something up here. I wrote, and also, despotes is a word that's translated Lord. All right? And it has the meaning, deeper meaning, of supreme ruler over His people. But this is what I wanted to change. Over His people. I know you can't see that, Mom, but I wrote, and all people. He's Lord over all people. He's the Creator of all things. And all things belong to Him. When Jesus was on this earth, He always declared His authority, didn't He? He always declared Himself as sovereign master. He didn't soften the message when He realized He was in the presence of those who it would offend, did He? No. For one thing, He was God, and He knew their hearts. But no, He told the truth about Himself and about those that He was speaking to. He always declared His sovereign authority as master. The Lord demands surrender unto Him and His will. Not partial, not just on Sunday mornings, but total surrender to what we know He wants for us and from us. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that's where we'll start this morning. And I probably read this last week. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led." And I know I don't have to tell you, but this is a picture of us without Him. This is a picture of us being led about, even by our enemies. Freely, he was leading us about, tempting us into sin. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Now there are diversities, but it's the same Spirit. But by the Holy Ghost. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. When we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has quickened our heart and changed us. Now we love Him. And again I say, we're faced now with what next? What is God's will for me? How do I please Him? Now we spoke last week some about the word that's translated servant in several places in the New Testament. And when you look at it closely, it actually does mean slave. A servant serves another. Well, a slave serves another too. But the difference is, a servant serves another, but he's still his own. He still belongs to himself. But a slave belongs to he who he serves. And that's an important difference that I thought we should bring out. So we did. A slave is totally dependent on his Lord, isn't he? God's grace calls us to submit to His authority. Now that's against our nature, isn't it? It is. It's definitely against our nature. Authority is one of those things that I always disliked all my life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Let me tell you something that I learned in my life is that having my own way and doing exactly what I wanted to do, it didn't give me happiness. It didn't give me peace. No, it gave me more concern about my future. It caused me to be enslaved more The scripture this morning talked about peace. Let me tell you, there is no true peace found in pleasing myself. I've tried it out for a long time. It doesn't work. Oh, but honoring God and His Word and seeking to please Him will give you true freedom. Freedom from thinking that you are trapped, knowing that you are trapped in sin. Freedom from death. You know, death to us is just a separation. Oh, and on the other side is God and walking with Him, even as Adam and Eve did in the garden, in holiness. Jesus Christ is God. He created all things. Nothing that exists is outside of His rule. He's the creator, therefore He is the owner. 1 Corinthians back to chapter 6. Verse 19 says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own?" You see, we were bought for God by the shed blood and death of Jesus Christ on the cross. We're not our own. That little perspective is extremely important for us to be able to have the right foundation to serve Him and to care about serving Him, to make the right decisions every day. And all day long, we face them, don't we? All day we do. Do I want to watch that? Do I want to listen to this? Do I want to say this? All day long we face these decisions, don't we? We need to remember that we're His, that we belong to Him, and that freedom and peace in our heart lies in being obedient to Him. It really does. That's where peace is. Being obedient to Jesus Christ. We're bought with a price. Verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, all of us belong to Him. Every part of us belongs to Him. All that we would seek to please Him. Well, I want to know what the will of God is in my life. I need to know this so that even with this foundation of knowing that I'm His, He's my master, it is my duty to obey Him. So what is it that He wants for me? Well, let's look in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If I can get on the right side of Hebrews, I'll be all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore then, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. "Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God." They had been teaching them at Thessalonica how to walk, how to please God. "So you would abound more and more, so that you would grow closer and closer to Him, so that you become stronger and stronger in the Lord, in the Spirit, in your life as a Christian. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." Oh, this is where we were headed, isn't it? Here's the answer to our question. What's the will of God for me in my life, for every day? What is it? "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." And then he'll list several things. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. What does that mean? Well, to be sanctified is to be set apart, right? That's what He did when He saved us. He gave us a heart that can't be found anywhere else except in Him. He set us apart from the world. God has his own system, doesn't he? And it's not the same as man's world system, is it? It is not. Set apart from the world. What's God's will for me? That's my question this morning. What is it? What am I supposed to do as I seek to obey his word? I'm supposed to be different, aren't I? I'm supposed to be set apart. The desires of my heart. Yeah, let's get down to the bottom. The desires of my heart are to be sanctified or set apart from the things of this world. This world, it'll pull us down into itself, won't it? It will. It will, because we still have that natural man that seeks to build up pride, that seeks pleasure. But the will of God is that we would be set apart from the things of this world. You know, it's like the Bible teaches about money. The Bible really doesn't say that money's evil. But it does say that the love of money is. Why? Because it'll take over and it'll take the place in your heart of the love you have for God. Oh, aren't you glad we've got a powerful, sovereign God that don't let that happen? And will never let that happen. Praise God. What a Savior. All right. One more while we're in 1 Thessalonians. This is going to be in chapter 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. Again, Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. Verse 12, he says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. We'd never stop thanking him. When you received the word of God, you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You received the word of God, which ye heard of us. They were the preachers. They preached the gospel. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The Bible is real. The Bible truly is the word of God. And when it's preached and a heart is changed, it's not because of the words of the man that spoke the gospel. It's because of the Holy Spirit that quickened the heart to hear it. And that heart realized that's not man-made right there now. That gospel that gives Jesus Christ all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory because he deserves it, that's not man-made. That's different. That's different. And God quickens us, you see. And within us, he puts that spirit that made the change. What a God. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, men, ye received it not as word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, the gospel continues to be powerful in my life and in my heart. And it does in yours, if you trust in him. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Why? Because it reveals the righteousness of God, see? Not anybody else's righteousness. Not mine, because I'm striving to be obedient to him, no. No, that is simply an after fact. That is simply a result of a changed heart. That I desire to please him and that I love him. What a God. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, the anointed one of God. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. All right. We'll stop right there. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the creator of all things. we and all other people belong to Him. Oh, won't we honor Him in our hearts and in our minds and then in our actions and lives, realizing that we are His. Praise the Lord.